served with holy fear. And when you call my spirit to leave this world below, I enter through a merit.
Amen. Let us pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus, our Savior, had and has, present tense, compassion. The word from our gospel in the original text is splagchenizomai. Just saying the word kind of brings out the meaning of your gut being moved. Just saying splag to start off with. It means that his gut was moved. His inward part poured forth. His heart, Jesus' heart, God's heart, goes out in a deep, personal, and direct way to you. His children. He really, really cares. And it always leads to his acting to help, to serve, and to bless. Notice how St. Matthew's gospel tracks his observation, his compassion, and then his action. And here are some scriptures from Matthew's gospel on page 11 of our bulletin. Let's read these out loud. Get a better sense of how Jesus was looking upon the people and how he had compassion. First, Matthew 4:23. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. He was delving right in, proclaiming the gospel, but also addressing the real needs of the people. Matthew 9:36, we read together. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He saw the crowds in that condition, and it caused his gut to be deeply moved. Matthew 14:14 from today's gospel. Read together. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, these scriptures describe more than just sympathy, sameness of feeling, or more, even more than empathy, the ability to share another's emotions, thoughts, or feelings. Christ is so deeply moved when he sees his people in real need, so internally moved, it causes him to act. It causes him to help. It causes him and drives him to get involved in the lives of those in need. How does he act? What did he do? The Word of God is very clear. First of all, there's no question about it. When he acted, he proclaimed the good news. He preached the forgiveness of sins. He proclaimed the kingdom of God for the people he served. Secondly, he also had mercy on the real physical needs of the people. The scriptures say that he healed the diseases and the sickness. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to pause here at this juncture just to say that sometimes as we read and study the scriptures, we're having the good news proclaimed to us, but what about my diseases? What about my sicknesses? What about my, you fill in the blank? Well, keep in mind, dear Christians, not only does the Lord continue to provide for you, even if you are battling an illness or a sickness now, through your loved ones, through medicine, but remember his promise to you. The day is coming when we will experience full physical healing on the day of the resurrection. You too will know your every single need met through the mercy and grace of God on that day. Don't ever forget that. And it's all coming for us a lot sooner than any of us imagine. And thirdly, He intervenes for and he helps the harassed and helpless people. One of my sons told me that as school was wrapping up, he saw a boy picking on a girl. And that boy was picking on that girl, and I guess my son had a dodgeball, and he tossed it to that boy and bonked him on the head. And then he went to the principal's office and he reported the incident. And I said, "Hey, way to stand up for that girl." Where does this ministry take place? I think it's important for us to back up and really look at the context of where this compassion of Christ coming to us is taking place. And then we're going to reveal some important law and important gospel from today's text. Matthew 14, 13, Jesus withdrew from a boat to a what kind of place? A desolate place. Matthew 14, 15, the disciples say, in response to Jesus telling them to feed him, he says, they say, this is a what kind of place? A desolate place. We too are in a desolate place, in the sense that we live in a place impacted by the desolation of sin, the world, the evil one. Think of the desolation represented by the Ebola virus and the havoc it's causing in West Africa. Consider the desolation of continued war, airline disasters, the nightmare of kids taking the lives of others before taking their own. Consider your own desolation as you face the daily battle of your own sinful nature, the guilt and the shame and the fear it produces in your own life. 1 Peter 2:11 calls us sojourners and exiles. That's what you're called when you're going through a desolate place and condition. The hymn that "I'm But a Stranger Here" in our Lutheran hymnal and many other Christian hymnals, stanza 1 says, "I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home. Earth is a desert drear, heaven is my home. Danger and sorrow stand round me on every hand. Heaven is my fatherland, heaven is my home." We're strangers. Earth is a desert drear. Danger and sorrow stand round me on every hand. We can relate to those words. That's real life. These are indications of desolation. Now, listen. Jesus does not avoid the desolate places. He enters into them. I don't have it here in the outline. But remember, Peter was in the boat and he saw his own sinful desolation. And all of a sudden, because of the desolate condition that he sensed in himself, he told the Lord to get away. "I am a sinful man. Away from me." That's what we do in our sin when we face our desolation. We become the ultimate pessimist. Nothing can help us. We have no hope. And yet Jesus stayed with Peter. He didn't get out of that boat. Jesus doesn't send us away, but he serves you where you're at. He serves you where you're at. The human reaction to desolation is to feel overwhelmed. The disciples take in the situation with a great crowd, and their assessment is clear. This is a desolate place. There's only one thing left to do. Send the crowds away. Well, he doesn't go along with that perspective. But he says in Matthew 14, 16, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. He sets up the disciples for a critical lesson. They're flabbergasted. Matthew 14, 17, they only see their limitation. They have 5 loaves and 2 fish. We're like those first century disciples. Our circumstances, our limitations, we see them clear as day. And they justify our pessimism. In our sin, we see no way past our desolation. And so we justify our hearts to give up. There's never a good time to serve. There's never a good time to visit the desolate, to help those who are suffering. I'm having trouble with my own resources. I'm too tired. It's not going to do any good. To speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, to feed the hungry, to clothe those without clothing, to comfort the sorrowing. Our sin convinces us we're too busy, we're too stretched out. Maybe someday. The desolation is overwhelming, and we're convinced in our sinful selves to remain paralyzed. There's only one answer. Jesus takes over. Jesus takes over for this brother in Christ. Inserting something from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has made available, besides the Lutheran Witness magazine, another magazine called Lutherans Engage the World, which is specifically on missions. In the latest issue, there's a story on the fact that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has formed Mercy Medical Teams. And folks in the Synod can get involved in helping Mercy Medical Teams that travel to other countries to help people in need. And there's a pastor, Reverend John, I'm not sure about the pronunciation of his last name, it's J-U-E-D-E-S, Judies or something like that. Pastor at Messiah Lutheran Church in Highland, California. He's been on 24 mission trips. I was asked to go to Madagascar this October, and I had to say no, it's been just a little too busy. Which is a little ironic in terms of what I'm about to share with you. When I talk to people about mission trips, almost everyone has a reaction of thinking, this isn't a good time for me to go. That's basically what I said. And they're always right. And this wasn't a good time for me to go either. But what I find is this. If you decide to go in spite of it not being the ideal time, you'll still find an ideal blessing at the end of it, and that's the thing I find really encouraging. Now, I'm not saying that the only way you can live this out is by going to a foreign country. The needs are all around us, right? But to check that first impulse that I can. Jesus says, bring them here to me. Jesus serves you now through his ministry, and there are three major contours of his ministry. So I took the text, I backed up, and I asked myself the very practical question. Okay, we see the overarching lesson here. We see that in our sin, we're convicted that we're always given up before we step out. But the gospel is Jesus stays with us. He embraces us, puts us into the kingdom and the forgiveness of sins, and calls us to serve as his ambassadors. But I backed up and I asked myself, what can I share with my people about the immediate opportunities for ministry right now? And there are three levels, if you will, of what we may refer to as ministry. What I'm referring to is general ministry, congregational ministry, and office of the ministry ministry. General ministry, congregational ministry, and office of the ministry ministry, which you can support all three. Let's talk about the first one. The first one is general ministry. It entails all kinds of service. Here, whatever is done in faith, in Christian vocation, right there in your own home, as a father or mother, a son or a daughter, a brother, a sister, a citizen, a worker, God works through you to help other people. Just recently, my wife was talking out loud to one of my daughters in the kitchen. And she shared with my daughter the heavy burden that she has in her heart to care for a little man in our life who has a lot of needs. My wife has actually considered possibly trying to adopt him. And my daughter lived out holy vocation and encouraged my wife. And she said to my wife, Mom, if you adopt him, I will help you. That's what I'm talking about. That's compassion. Praise God for holy vocation. The general ministry that we all conduct. And if you go to top of page 14, we have a wonderful description of this general ministry. Let's read it together as God's people. Romans 12, 10 to 13. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. And then there is congregational ministry, which entails the royal priesthood, all Christians in the body of Christ. And you might expect a pastor now to say, this means you sign up for all kinds of committees in the congregation. That's not what I'm saying this morning. Rather, we understand our combined call to share the gospel. Look at 1 Peter 2:9. Let's read it together. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And when we do that, usually we need a follow-up, and we can say, and I'd like to invite you to my congregation to worship with us. Past few Sundays, we've had a couple of Mormon missionaries worshiping here at St. Paul's. They came to visit one of our members. She invited them in. She got to know them. And she invited them to church. And they've been coming. And we've been sharing the gospel. Then there's the office of the ministry, referring to the office of Christ given to the church in and through which pastors serve according to the calls of the congregation. I'm only here because you called me. This is our ministry. It's the office of the ministry. 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, St. Paul is referring to the apostolic ministry which is continued in pastoral ministry. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. We're stewards of these mysteries, of these gifts which come to you to keep you in the forgiveness of sins. Christ's provision and service to you has no limits. In this world of desolation where we see limits all over the place, this ministry has no limits. Just as the Lord took 5 loaves and 2 fish and he fed 5,000 plus, his ministry resources for you today are intended to continue and never run dry. Through all of these, his compassion for you is evident. His ministry to you will never run out. Especially when it comes to what's most important. He gives you the forgiveness of all your sins. He wants you to have a clean conscience on account of his blood. We heard the story at Higher Things of a child who was baptized and the family was back in their seats. And the little child ran away from his family. Just like you. He gives you eternal life. Don't take this gift for granted. Think about it. Your death has been destroyed. You continue to live. He gives you the Holy Spirit to equip you to live as a Christian. He incorporates you into the body of Christ, and all of the ministries are given to you. To receive them and to contribute to them and to share them. You are given wine and milk like our Old Testament lesson today. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy, eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. This is lavish provision. These are symbols of the most important provisions that God has given to you in Christ. These cost nada. The Lord does this for you out of compassion. In response, we spend less time feeling sorry for ourselves and more time basking in His compassion and, of course, sharing this compassion with others. Salvation leads to service. This is the life of Christ. Let us live it out as once again He feeds us this day. This is how He feeds you, especially as you are now about to receive the precious body and blood of Jesus Christ. And under the bread and the wine and the holy sacrament, this body and blood keeps you in Christ's compassion and keeps you in eternal life. Let us go forth. Let us go forth and let's all experience together this fantastic word that means that our inward guts are being moved for a very good purpose. Splagkinizomai. And let's share that compassion that you've received. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until He comes again in glory. Amen. We rise for prayer.